We've been talking a lot about healing, and I'm going to talk to you today from a story where a person received their healing, a very well-known story. I've preached on it many times before, but I want to talk to you about or around the subject, a familiar subject really, of healing, of humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. Can you say that out loud with me? Ready? Say it. Humility and obedience. So, so important. And I really want to talk around this. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read. I'm going to read verse 1, then I'm going to read verse 9 to 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, and then 9 to 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came there and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophets had told you to do something great, would you have done it? How much more then when he says to you, go wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Father, we ask your blessing upon this word today. We pray that you just touch my heart, my mind, my tongue, Lord, so that what comes from me, Father, will come from you really, Lord, to your dear people. We pray that our hearts will be open and ready and receptive to receive your word this morning. Father, we give you thanks for what you will speak into our hearts. Help us to be obedient servants, O God, in hearing and doing what you are commanding us to do. Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. So as I said, I want to talk to you a little bit with this story about humility and obedience. We've been talking a lot about healing, and it's so important for us to realize that if healing is going to be manifested, and we've said this so many times, then there are conditions to be met. And the conditions are not laid out by man, they're laid out by God's word. And so we need to pay particular attention to what God's word is saying, to what the Spirit of God is saying, and we need to understand the heart of God and the purposes of God and the things that he does and why he does what he does. As a matter of fact, with that, I think not next week, because next week's communion, but the week after, I'm going to talk to you about something that I've never preached on before anywhere. It's laid on my heart. It's been on there. And I just want to lift it up for a specific reason so that you will understand why God does what he does. God heals people, but it's not just for you. Okay? God gives you finances, a good job, answered prayer. But he just doesn't do that for you, his child. Yes, he does it for you, but not just for you. There is another reason why God does what he does. And I'm going to sort of bring that to you and show you why from Scripture, why God does what he does. So it's very important for us to realize that. Okay, fine. So, first of all, there can be no successful act of obedience without sincere submission to the authority requesting such obedience. We live in a world today where everybody's doing their own thing. Nobody wants to be humble anymore. Nobody wants to listen anymore. Nobody wants to respect authority anymore. And we see that picture in the world. We see it as no new thing in the Word of God. And in the future, the Word of God tells us that even God himself will be defied by man who will look God in the face and reject him and just, you know, rather than submit themselves to him, they rebel against his authority. So even that we see that man is waxing worse and worse, and we see that in the world today, things are getting worse out there. And if ever a time Christians, believers, need to draw near to God and need to know the God they serve, it's a time like now. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. All right, so there can be no successful act of obedience. And by the way, obedience is the path to blessing. So if you want to be blessed, you've got to be obedient, okay, to the word of God, what God says, and what God requires. But there can be no successful act of obedience without sincere submission to the authority that's requesting that obedience. Okay, now I'm going to approach this using this phrase here, a phrase that I've learned from years ago, and I've used it in teaching, and I'm going to use it again today. There are six little wise old men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what, why, when, where, how, and lastly, who. So I'm going to answer this question about humility and obedience by asking various questions using these six words, okay? So as we go through this, we're going to start off with what is humility. If we're talking about humility and obedience, we need to know what they are. So let's talk about that. What is humility? Humility, this is my definition. To make oneself lower than another. Okay? To be meek. And I love this one. Humility is compliance. To place your mission under the mission of another. Okay? So when you are humble, what you're doing is, even though you may want certain things, you may want to do things certain way, when you're humbling yourself under the authority that's speaking or that's operating over in your life, you're placing your desire below the level of what the authority requires of you. In this case, God. What God requires of us, what we want, comes second, third, fourth, way down there. And so we humble ourselves, we place ourselves lower, and we place our objectives, if you like, or what our own personal desires, lower than what God wants. We make, in other words, we lift up what God wants and we make that priority in our lives. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. So that's what we do. It's compliance. It's doing what God wants you to do and being who God wants you to be. Humility is compliance. When you're not humble, you are defiant. When you're defiant, you're in rebellion. And there's consequences for that. And there's so much that the Bible has to say about that, but I'm not going to go into that. You're placing your mission under the mission of another. That could be your God, it could be your leaders, it could be your pastor, it could be your boss at work, it could be your mom, your dad, the authority that's over you. That's what humility is, okay? Compliance to be meek, placing your mission under the mission of another. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. I've fleshed this up several times in the past. But thinking of yourself less. That's what C.S. Lewis said. Okay? So biblical obedience. Okay? Hope you understand that. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Okay? But thinking of yourself less. Alright? There's a big difference. Good. Now, what is obedience? Biblical obedience is to follow with the right attitude and instruction, command, or counsel given from a godly authority to compliance. It is compliance and submission to the authority of God's word. So when I am obedient, I am under the authority of God's word. I've lifted up God's word, and that's the number one thing. I'm doing what God says. I'm going to obey the orders of God, and orders are not suggestions. They're made to be carried out. So if God gives us an order, for example, he says, love your enemies. It's not a choice. It's something that we have to do. We have to love our enemies. And I know sometimes that can be difficult, but that's an order that comes from God, and we've got to be obedient to that order, all the orders of the Lord, in order to see the benefits or the results of what God wants to actually bring into our lives. How many people know God is a God of blessing? How many people know that God wants to pour out into your life even more than you have now? Can I see your hands? It's a God who wants to do that. We serve a good God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we serve a good God. Serve a good God. And so he's laid out the rules. He's laid the foundation of what we've got to do. We've got to obey. All right? So what is obedience? All right, so why? Let's go to why. Why should we be humble? Going through the six little men. Why should we be humble? Several answers. I'm going to give you a few this morning because of time. But number one, to receive our desired outcome. We should be humble to receive our desired outcome. Naaman had to obey to receive his healing. And we see from the context of Scripture, the story we just read, he didn't want to do that. His expectation of how his healing would come was different from how God wanted to do it. And so he had to humble himself, and he had to just say, you know, well, he had to humble himself to the authority that was over him and be obedient to what the command that was given in order to receive the desired outcome. And the desired outcome was healing from leprosy. Why should we be humble? The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Value others above yourself. And so you've got to lift up others or place a high value on others, okay? Rather than just placing a high value on yourself. Again, it's not saying look down on yourself. It's just saying, hey, consider your brother and your sister. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. Consider those that are around us, okay? And place a value on them and humble yourself while you're doing that, okay? Psalm chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, sorry. And verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So why should we humble ourselves? We should humble ourselves to get wisdom. Or, if you like, we should humble ourselves so that we are not disgraced. So when we humble ourselves with wisdom, but with humility rather, comes wisdom. Okay, so if you want wisdom in your life, we have to humble ourselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Don't be conceited. Live in harmony. Don't be proud. Okay? And be willing to associate with those who may be, you know, not as well off as you are. Don't isolate yourself or segregate yourself, but associate yourself with them. Romans 12 and verse 16. So those are just a few reasons why we should be humble. There's a ton more, but I'm just skipping past that, and I'm going to go to the next one, which is when. When should I humble myself? When should I humble myself? Well, if we look at the context of 1 Kings, we see in verse 11 and verse 12 that Naaman's expectation of how and where he would be healed was wrong. The River Jordan was one of the dirtiest rivers at the time. And that's where he was sent to be dipped in seven times. And he was pointing out a couple of other rivers and said, well, aren't these rivers much better? And what he was doing was really, you know, pointing out that these rivers are better. Why can't I dip in those rivers? But he had to humble himself again. He had to humble himself to really obey the instruction that was sent. Remember we said to you that instructions from the Lord are most times illogical? And this is one of them, you know, where this is an illogical instruction that was sent. And we see that right through Scripture, and I'm going to give you a few more today, a little bit more. But Naaman had to lower his expectation. This is not the way it's going to happen. And even though the prophet said this, or he sent a message and said, this is the way it should be done, even though I didn't like it, even though I didn't agree with it, even though I didn't see it happening that way, yet he had to get himself to a place that he had to make sure that he's humbling himself, okay, lowering his expectation so that the power of God and the word of God and the way that God wants to do it, okay, can be done. And so that's what he had to do. So when should he humble himself? He had to humble himself when the time was called for him to humble himself. And he had to, as I said, come right down on his expectation because, of course, his expectation was wrong. When should I humble myself? You should humble yourself when you're getting advice. My God, nothing is worth, you know, worse than getting, someone come to you for advice. You're giving advice, you're giving counsel, and then it's rejected for no apparent reason. Or it's rejected just because you don't feel that that is the way it should be. You don't feel that that's the way it should go. You know, you should humble yourself when you're getting advice. And by the way, godly advice, I would add to that. You've got to do that. Otherwise, humility is not there. And you could be rejecting the very thing that God is trying to get into your life. Are you with me here to this morning? God could be trying to get something out of you so that, you know, sometimes before healing can take place, stuff needs to come out. It needs to come out. There's most times, a lot of the times, and we've seen this in Scripture, deliverance is necessary before healing can take place. And so God is trying to get stuff out of you, maybe a bad attitude, maybe a bad habit, maybe something else. He's trying to get that out so that healing can come in. When you're getting good, godly advice, you should show humility and you should take it rather than puffing up and rather than getting all offended like some people do, and you don't see them, you don't hear them, or they don't talk to you, or you get the silent treatment. That is not good. That's not godly. That's not God's way. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. So, we should show humility when you're getting advice. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, at every opportunity, okay, we should humble ourselves, even when you are right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people. That's what the verse says. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If you're going to pursue peace, if you're going to pursue holiness, then that means you're going to subject or submit yourself to the authority that demands that peace and that holiness. Okay? And that authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to do that at every single moment when we get the chance. Now, we will look to the Bible in Luke chapter 17. This is an example coming up of when of what happened here. This is a story about the 10 lepers that came, and they had leprosy. And from afar, they saw Jesus, and they shouted to him. We all know the story. They shouted to Jesus, and then Jesus gave them a command. And the command was this: go show yourself to the priest. They had leprosy. They wanted healing from Jesus. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't heal them. He didn't tell them to do something or go anywhere. All he told them to do was go show yourself to the priest. What was he doing? He was giving them a command. He was giving them instruction. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. They didn't stand up there and argue. They didn't stand up and say, we can't show ourselves to the priest because we've got leprosy. They didn't say any of that. The 10 lepers, they went. And the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. In John chapter 9, there was a story about the man who was blind. And I think Jesus spat and made clay, put it on his eyes, and then said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed, and the Bible says he came back seeing. What was he doing? He was humbling himself under the authority, under the instruction that was received, didn't argue with it, just went. And it's, again, another illogical instruction. You know, why didn't Jesus just pray? Why didn't Jesus just touch his eyes? Why didn't he do it another way? He chose the most odd way to do things, spitting on the ground, making clay, putting the clay on the blind man's eyes, and then telling him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. How many people know that God does whatever he does the best? We may not understand it. We may not even like it. We may not comprehend it completely. But we know that anything that God does, he does it the best way possible. And we may not like it, we may not agree with it, but folks, we just got to agree. Too much opinions these days of, well, I don't agree with this, well, I don't agree with that, I don't agree, I don't agree, I don't agree. And sometimes, folks, we miss God moving in the midst of our disagreements. We miss it because we are exalting ourselves and our opinions too much above the authority of the instruction that's received. These men did not. The ten blind men didn't. The ten lepers, didn't. And this blind man also didn't. He followed through with those instructions. And then the Bible says he came back seeing. God is good. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You want to be exalted in due season? Humble yourself under the almighty hand of God, and then he will do it. So where are the benefits then of humility? Where are they seen? Okay, so 2 Kings 5 in our story with Naaman. Naaman listened to the advice given to his servants. And so he listened to the advice, even though he was arguing and he was saying, well, this and well, that and well, this and well, that. And his servants now had to come with wisdom and say to him, listen, if you were told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? And the answer is, yes, he would have. And he said, well, listen, the advice that has come is for you to go and to dip yourself seven times in the River Jordan. Why don't you just do it? So Naaman had to listen. He listened to the advice of his servants. And so he received his healing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we listen to instruction, when we listen to the word of God, and we take it in and we obey it and do it correctly, then blessing follows that. Naaman received his healing after he humbled himself, listened to the advice that was given, and then followed through with the instruction that was given from the prophet before. James chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. There's a benefit. Where are the benefits of humility? God lifting you up. How many people want God to lift you up? Yeah, there's a benefit. So humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Proverbs chapter 29 is another benefit coming up. Where are the benefits of humility? A man's pride, Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So there we go. Honor is another benefit of humility. So when we humble ourselves, and when we honor each other, and when we honor God, when we honor our leaders, when we honor our managers, when we honor, when we live with honor in our lives, then God will lift us up. That's a benefit. And that's a good benefit for every Christian to desire to have in their life. Okay? God will lift us up and God will honor us. So honor means to place great esteem upon. Humility. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches, honor, and life. Are you hearing this? Right? So in other words, when I humble myself, guess what? You're going to get paid wages. That's what the scripture says. Your payday is coming. If I learn to humble myself, I'm not just humbling myself for nothing. No, benefits are coming. Okay? And the wages of that is coming. The reward of my humility is coming. See, God always wants to reward his people. I read it again. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches, honor, and life. I tell you that we serve a very good God. Riches, honor, and life are the wages of me humbling myself in the fear of the Lord. So how should I show humility? How should I show it? Well, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man listens to advice. I'll read that again. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Again, we see that out there so much, right? But a wise man listens to advice. We should listen twice as much as we talk. And when we learn to do that, then we will begin to see maybe sometimes the errors of our ways, but also begin to see the wisdom of what is being presented before us. Especially if it's godly advice. Now, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. rather in humility value others. There we go again about others. And that's what the kingdom is like, you see, because that's the heart of God. God is about others. For God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. Okay? So the heart of God is always about others. And we're taught here from God's word that we must have a heart for others. Don't just be thinking about yourself and your circle, but because there's a wide world out there that God wants us to be concerned about. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as God has chosen people holy and dearly beloved, or dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, when you clothe yourself, what do? You cover everything up. You are carrying that wherever you are going. You put on your clothes this morning because you know you're coming to church and you haven't taken it off. No, you're still clothed with it. As you go to church, as you leave this place, you're still going to be clothed with your clothes that you put on. And that's how we've got to walk, and we've got to clothe ourselves with several things here. And one of them mentioned in this scripture is humility. Walk with it. Carry it with you. Operate with it wherever you are going. Are you with me, church? Carry it. Don't just practice it when you see it to a convenient time or when you feel like it. No. Walk in it. Carry it. Operate in it at all times. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Who should humble themselves? Who? Let's look at that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. I'll just give you a few examples from the Word of God. You know, likewise, you younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. So the younger, this verse is addressed to the younger should be subjected, okay, or subject to your elders. Clothe, here we go again with that word, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, if you're not humble, the chances are you're in pride. And if you're in pride, you're in something that God cannot work with. And so we've got to humble ourselves and we've got to say, no, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. Let's have a look at another one. Who should show humility? Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul, come on, everybody say, every soul.
Every soul.
Say it again, every soul.
Every soul.
Yeah, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. Nobody's exempted. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. People sometimes, Christians sometimes have a hard thing believing that even secular governments are there because God allows them to be there. And we're subject to the secular governments. I remember when the poll tax came out some years ago, and there was a lot of rebellion, one of the biggest demonstrations that I've seen in this country since I've come back. Regarding the poll tax. And even me, I said to myself, right now, I'm not paying no poll tax. Just like other people were saying at the time. But then I got convicted. Soon after, I changed that tune. Because I realized that, hang on a minute, I might not like it, but guess what? If it's a law, I've got to obey the law of the land. And the only way I'm not going to obey the law of the land is if the law of the land is actually telling me to do something that is contrary to God's word. God's word was not telling me that I should not pay the poll tax. So you may not agree with me, but that's okay. But I've got to do what I know I should be doing legally. Because if I'm not, I'm going to be in trouble. Now I'm going to be breaching not just the government, not just the laws of the land, but hey, the authorities that God has allowed to be there. Now I'm breaching that. Now I'm breaking some other law. And bring in, if you like, displeasure to the face of the Lord. And I can't do that. So every soul has to be subject to the governing authorities. And especially so those governing authorities, are godly. We've got to do that. There's no exception to the rule as far as that is concerned. Let's look at another one. 2 Timothy 2:24-25. Who should show humility? The servant of the Lord. Are there any servants of the Lord here?
Amen.
Then we all have got to show humility. 2 Timothy 2:24-25 says, as a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And Paul here was teaching or instructing young Pastor Timothy and saying to him these things. And these principles apply to us today. Okay, so we've got to take note of them and we've got to also practice them. Now I'm going to give you some tips. I've gone through the six little men very briefly. I'm going to come to obedience in a moment. Just a few scriptures on obedience. But let me give you some tips on practicing humility. Okay? Some tips on practicing humility. And hopefully these will help. Number one, speak less of yourself. Speak less of yourself. You move into certain circles and, you know, you hear people talking about themselves, what I'm doing. And hang on a minute, there could be a sign of pride there coming out of you through the form of words. Speak less of yourself. Number two, stop trying to manage people's affairs. The Bible talks about, you know, busybodies. I think it was Paul again in one of his letters talking about busybody people, just interfering with other people's business. And some people try to manage other people's affairs. Don't do that. Humble yourself. Pull back and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I may have advice, I may have counsel, but I'm not going to manage the thing unless I'm asked to do that. Avoid curiosity. What did I say about curiosity? Curiosity killed a cat. Avoid curiosity. And what I mean by that is that, you know, if you're not careful, you're curious about something, you begin to poke your nose now into other people's affairs or business because you're curious about it. And you might just end up going too far. So be careful with that. Number four, accept corrections cheerfully. Now, there's a sign of a mature Christian and believer. Accept corrections cheerfully. And when something is pointed out to you and you know that you're wrong, admit that you're wrong. Say that you're wrong. You know, and accept it, and accept the corrections that you're given cheerfully. I've never ever, and I never will, this is one of the things that I promised the Lord before I went into ministry. I said to the Lord that I will never ever compromise to gain. I will never look and give anybody counsel or give them instruction or say something just to gain their friendship or just to gain some kind of favor from them or just to please them. I'll never do that. My counsel will always line up with God's word. Always line up with God's word. Irrespective of who you are, it will come straight from me, okay, to you as best as I know it to be truth when lining up with God's word. Accept corrections cheerfully. Forgive the mistakes of others. You're not perfect. Sure, you've made mistakes. So why you can't forgive your brother? Why you can't forgive your sister who has also made mistakes? Be willing to humble yourself, okay? And forgive others when they've done wrong. And you know, sometimes I believe that God allows us to go through certain things so that when the thing happens to us, we can remember that, now it's happening to my sister. I remember what happened to me. And I remember what I had to do. I had to humble myself, ask God for forgiveness. And so therefore, I have a responsibility to do the same for my brothers and my sisters when they make mistakes. Look, it takes two to tango, though. You understand what I'm saying? It takes two to tango. It's, you are only responsible for what you have decided to do. If they don't decide to hear you, if they don't decide to repent, if they don't decide to receive whatever correction you're giving to them, that's on them. That's not on you. But you are responsible for you. So when people have done you harm, forgive them. Don't hold on to it. Pastor David, that's easier said than done. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll realize that you have to do it. And God will help you to make a way. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that there is no temptation but such as is common to man. Okay? And then when we're faced with that temptation, the Bible goes on to say, that verse goes on to say, that God will make a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. So whatever you are facing, you are able to bear, you are able to overcome. Because God's word has promised He will never give us more than we can bear, but with that temptation, trouble, trap, make a way of escape so that we'll be able to bear it. So yes, you can dig deep and find room in your heart to forgive people when they've done you wrong. Man, you guys are quiet. And like I said, I know it's hard, but you've got to dig deep. You've got to live there. You've got to live there. You know? Because the world is such that people will not like you for no reason. And people will talk and lie against you for whatever reason. But you can't let that bother you. You've got to let what God's word be truth in your life and let that be the finality of everything, of the conclusions that you're coming to. What God says, that's what matters. What God's word says, that's what I'm going to do. And all I'm doing is being responsible for me. Are you here? Are you with me? You're not responsible for other people's actions and behavior. They are. But you're responsible for yours. So make sure you're doing what God tells you to do. Don't respond quickly to insults and injuries. I've learned this the hard way sometimes. I've been alive a long time, so it's okay for me to talk like this. I've learned some lessons the hard way. Because sometimes, you know what the flesh is like. The flesh can jump up and quick to jump to conclusions. Quick to say something that actually, in retrospect, you shouldn't have said. You shouldn't have done. Am I the only one? Just wonder. Don't respond quickly to insults and injuries. Forgive being slighted. Forgive being forgotten. Forgive being disliked. You better understand that if you're a Christian, these things are going to happen to you. And you're going to be slighted by your own people sometimes. You're going to be forgotten by those who were around you. Yes, Pastor, we're with you, we're with you. This is what people have told me in the past. You know, and then they've forgotten what they've said. They're slighted. And to be prepared to be disliked. You're a Christian, and so therefore these things are going to happen. So you've got to be strong inside, you know, and resilient on the inside. So that irrespective of what is happening around you, you've got the strength of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit working in your life, and you're maintaining your focus so that you're not lost track of where you are, who you are, and what God is doing in your life. You've got to be strong. Show kindness even under provocation. Show kindness even under provocation. Positively, what you're saying. They're provoking me, and I must show them kindness. Not me saying it. The Word of God saying, I wish I had scriptures there, but I didn't have time. All this, I didn't have time to put it up on. I did this yesterday, Friday. Control your words and your emotions so much that each of these are topics themselves, and each of these are preached on anyway in the past. Control your words and your emotions. You are in charge. You're in control of your emotions. Your emotions are not in control of you. You are in control of your emotions. Maintain control of it. Because it's so easy sometimes, in a spur of a moment, you can say the wrong thing. You can give a bad look. You can slight. You can, you know, just different things can happen with those emotions. So have them under control and say, no. I am in control here. I am in control. And then demonstrate it. Let God's word work in your heart. And that's so important. Let God's word work in your heart. How others treat you, you've seen this before. How others treat me is none of my business. How I treat others is my business. And God has made it so. God has made it so. People may treat you bad, but if you treat them bad, you're responsible for your actions. How they treat you, you're not responsible for that. You know, people have lied on me, and I know they've been with you as well. Come on, we're all alive. You know, people have lied on me, criticized me, said all sorts of things, and some people were close to me have done that. And I can't let it bother me, because if I let it bother me, it's going to get into my spirit, it's going to affect my walk, it's going to affect my talk, it's going to affect my thinking, it's going to affect my focus, and then the devil's wins. So I can't let that happen. I can't let that happen. I can't come to church and keep quiet because I've gone through this or I've gone through that. No, I'm coming to church and I get... That's why we have the prayer time. And Pastor Trevor leads most of these. And, you know, we get to a place where we pray and we empty ourselves of ourselves so that we can enter in with true worship from a true heart. I was reading just this week, just day before yesterday, I was reading with a scripture in... Where am I? I've read several chapters, so I better not say which book I might call the wrong one. But, you know, God said, away with the song of your noise. Fancy God saying that. He said, I don't want to hear the noise of your songs. Wow. So their songs to God wasn't songs of true worship. It was noise. Remember the definition I gave you for noise? What is noise? Unwanted sound. Any random fluctuation of data which hinders the perception of a signal. That's what noise is. And God was saying, no, away with the noise of your songs. Why? Heart wasn't right. Heart not right. And it's got to be right. Some people think that just going to church and singing and blah, 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 that is enough and that's okay. No, I've been in churches like that. And I went to California one time, Joy and I were in California. Garfield, you were there at the time. You remember when we visited that church in the valley? You remember when the pastor got up and they preached and there was a... I'm going to say, hang on a minute. After the service, what was the message about? What was it really about? And they were making a whole lot of noise and the people were standing up. Yes, pastor, pastor, yes, preach. And all he was just doing was just... Words were coming out of his mouth, but I couldn't make sense of them. Was it just me? Did you make sense of... You remember? Did you make sense of anything? I remember I was talking about it afterwards. You remember, PJ? So we're going to be careful. It's not about emotion and about a load of excitement, physical excitement. It's not about that. The church today has to be rooted and grounded. Otherwise, the warfare we're going to lose. And battles we're going to lose. And the devil's going to be laughing and say, yeah, look at them. I got them. And because we've made it about excitement, excitement, excitement. Don't get me wrong. We should be excited. We should be excited when we come to the house of the God. But we're going to make sure that our walk is right, our heart is right, and one of the ways he's doing it is by checking ourselves to see if we're really humble. Amen. It's humility there. Yes. My obedience is non-negotiable. In other words, and I've got to walk in obedience. It's not an if I feel like it. Or, no, you've got to walk in obedience. You've got to do that. Adam and Eve did not walk in obedience, and we saw what happened to them. You've got to walk in obedience. The Bible says, Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the fat of the land. That's the best of the land. We serve a good God. Folks, we serve a good God. All right, and he has a good things in store for his people. And so we can't behave like spoiled children. We don't want to go through nothing. Where do you get that from? We don't want to go through anything. We don't want to go through no trial. We just want God to bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, 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 no. That's not the way of the kingdom. Ask the 12 apostles. Ask the prophets of old. Look at the life of Jesus. If these folks went through it, of course we're going to go through it. That's why Jesus said in John 16:33, when you go through tribulation, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. He didn't say, if you go through tribulation. And the book of James says the same thing. Expect it. You're going to go through it. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trial. You're going to be tested. So expect it. It's going to be sometimes challenging in this Christian life. And we've all found that if we're Christians. We found it challenging at times. But irrespective of the challenges, you're going to look beyond that and say, my God is going to bring me through. And whatever God said, he will do in Jesus' name. So I will be healed in the name of the Lord. I will be blessed and my family will be saved in Jesus' name. It will be better for me, or the best is going to come eventually for me, because I am maintaining my focus on the Lord and I am maintaining my determination to serve him, and I'm not going to let anything stop me. You've got to be tough in your warfare. You've got to be strong. Otherwise, you're just going to fall by the wayside. The devil will just blow a little breeze and you fall over, lightweight. Lightweight, no weight whatsoever, no substance. No, we've got to be strong. And you've got to understand that, yeah, I know this trouble coming. See there, I didn't know it was going to come like this, but it's coming. And the Bible says that it's coming. So there it is. I'm not surprised you've come. Yeah, I may not expect you this way, but you've come. But it's over. It's okay, because Jesus has overcome, and so therefore I will overcome. So the Bible says we're more than conquerors. You see, God speaks into our future. But problem is, we're fixated in the here and the now. And as long as you're stuck in the here and the now, all you're going to see is the here and the now. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. So in closing, Deuteronomy 9 and verse 1, it says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. Cities great and fortified up to heaven." The truth is that God has prepared for his people blessings in abundance. And things that we can't even see ourselves possessing now, God has already lined it up for our future. And if God will just open our eyes to not let the here and now just weigh you down, so that when you come to church you can't even worship, or you come with heaviness, leave that heaviness at the altar and shove it off and say, "In the name of Jesus, nothing will stop my praise. But I'm going to bless the Lord. And I'm going to bless him in the good times as well as the bad. I'm going to lift up his name, because that's he's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory." Psalm 68 and verse 6. "He brings out those who are bound into prosperity." Sorry, "He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." So the truth of the matter is that God is in the process, church, of bringing you out. I say it again, because I don't think you're convinced. I said that God, no matter where you are and what you're going through, God is in the process of bringing you out. And he's bringing you into rich fulfillment. He's bringing you into a destiny that he has created for you, which no man can take from you. I'm going to close with this, and I've given you this before, I'm going to give it to you again. There are three images, okay, that exist. And it's so important for us to realize that of the three images, only one is the one that really, really matters. You see, Naaman had to humble himself to receive his healing. But he had to see himself, okay, doing what he was commanded to do. And he had to have a different image. He was a leader, he was a godly man, all right? The king loved him, and that's why the king wrote the letter and sent the letter to another king, and this king got upset because this king was telling him to heal him. Because Naaman was precious to the king. Because by him, the Bible says, many wars were won. Many wars were won. And they were won because he knew the Lord. But the three images, okay? It's not on the screen, so I don't know why I'm looking there. Three images are, number one, our perceived image. Our perceived image. What is that? How others see us. You can look at a person and you can... What you're doing is actually you're looking at that individual, and you're in your mind's eye, you are creating an image of that person. You are thinking that person to be whatever your mind is saying to you about that individual. So our perceived image, how others see us. Number two, our projected image. Our projected image is how we would like others to see us. And sometimes what is projected is not the reality. And discernment, therefore, is necessary. And number three, our actual image. And our actual image is who we really are the true you being fully visible to God. So your actual image is how God sees you to be. Our projected image, how others see us. Our perceived image, how others see us. Our projected image, how we would like others to see us. You project yourself in a way so that others will define you and see you in a certain light. And then your actual image, who we really are, visible to God. The real you that God sees. And there is nothing that misses God. Nothing at all that misses God. And you know what I love about that, about God? He is the same, the Bible says, yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, "Behold, I am the Lord thy God. I change not." And I'm so thankful that we serve a God who does not change. And so what God wants is for us to humble ourselves before him. And if you're going to obey him, you have to humble yourself. And then when you humble yourself, you just follow through with his direction. Follow through with what God is saying. Folks, don't pay too much attention to what is that. I'm not saying ignore it. Some things you do ignore. Some things you have to deal with. But never, ever lose your focus. Never lose your focus. And your focus should always be the Lord being on my side. Let's bow our heads in prayer.